We're going to continue our lessons on spiritual gifts, and I pray that this is a blessing to each of you, and a blessing to our church, and a blessing to our city and community as we see a church coming together and operating in the spiritual gifts that God has given us and doing the work that He's called us to do. Amen. We began this series of lessons last week, and if you missed it, I encourage you to go back and watch it on Facebook Live, on our Facebook page, or go to our website, harvestm.com, and you can listen to it there. The last lesson gives a great introduction and foundation for the rest of these lessons, and you don't want to miss that. So in the Bible, there are several places that mention gifts from God for the church. And these gifts are given to the church for the work of the ministry, for the work of ministry and accomplishing God's work here on this earth. And really, these gifts are in order to bring God glory. They're given to us so that it gives God glory. And they're not for us to build up a kingdom for ourselves, but they are used to build the kingdom of God. And so we want to take advantage. We want to take full use of these gifts God has given us. There are three categories of spiritual gifts that we're going to be looking at. The service gifts, the ministerial office gifts, that's the fivefold ministry, and then the supernatural gifts. And those are often called the gifts of the Spirit. And through these lessons, we pray that we would all be able to recognize the gifts of God in our life that He's given us, and that we would be willing to step up to the task at hand, the task of building the kingdom of God. You see, we all have a place in the kingdom. We all have a purpose. The church should not be lacking in any area. Amen. There should be every talent and every ability. There should be people to meet every need within the church so that the local body can be whole and we can accomplish the work of God. Amen. Does anybody desire that today? That the body of Christ would be fully functioning and fully whole and accomplishing God's work? Amen. I want everybody today I want you to pay special attention to this. Don't you think that you don't have a place in the kingdom of God? Don't think that you don't have a place in the church, that you don't have a work to do, a part. I want to tell you, God has given every person in the body of Christ, He's given us a place, He's given us a purpose, and He has a calling for us. Amen. So specifically tonight, we're going to be looking at the service gifts. The service gifts. Amen. And we find these in Romans chapter 12. I encourage you to read along with us in your Bible and to make these passages of study, make them a part of your devotional time and study these scriptures. They're important. And we need to know them. We need to apply them in our lives if we're going to fulfill the will of God for us. Reading tonight in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, verses 1 through 8, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and then he lists these, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. What a great writing here from the Apostle Paul. He starts off, he says, I beseech you. He says, I plead with you. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And one that's holy and pleasing unto him. Give yourself to God in a way that he finds acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Amen. It's reasonable to expect that we would do just that. It's reasonable that we would give our bodies, our lives, our physical strength to the one who died for our sins. Amen. That's what we've been called to do. That's reasonable to expect that we would do that. He goes on, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So don't conform to the pattern of this world, the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you. Let him transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Amen. By the renewing of your mind. I want to tell you, God has a plan. He has a will for our lives. It is good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. And he doesn't want us to be what we used to be, but he wants to transform us. Amen. That's the plan for every one of us. That's the plan for everyone that comes into the church, that we would be transformed, that we would be changed, that we would not be what we used to be before Christ, but that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can then do the will of God. Let me assure us today, God can do it. God can transform us. He can take someone who has a mind after the things of this world, someone who sees things the way that the world sees them, and he can transform them. He can renew their minds so that they are literally a different person. They're not the same person they used to be. Thank the Lord for that today. He wants us to be a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful I'm not what I used to be, but we're a new creature today. Praise the Lord. When we pastored in Texas, there was a young man who came to visit our church, and he stayed. And after the service, I can remember talking with him and thinking, you know what? This guy is, he's really out there. I had that moment. I can remember thinking, man, this guy, he's out there. And he doesn't have a biblical worldview. But then how could he? Because all that he had known up to that point was from the world. He had been to college and he had studied everything from a worldly perspective. And that's really all that he had to go on. His way of thinking, it was so far from what made sense to me. But he had not had the same experience as I'd had. And something, though, it connected with that young man, and he kept coming back and kept coming to church, and God began to work, and things started to change. He received the Holy Ghost, and he was baptized. And guess what? That young man's way of thinking started to change. And what used to be a very liberal mindset, it was now transformed. He was just a different person. He didn't think the way he used to think. He didn't talk the way he used to talk. Didn't do the things he used to do. God began to transform him and change his life. Even the way that he thought politically. It started changing. And if that can happen, it must have been the Lord that transformed him until he was no longer that young man that came to church that one time and me thinking, wow, this guy is, he's really out there. But over time, God developed him. And it was so exciting to see. He eventually became a worship leader in the church, and he would teach Bible studies, and he would speak. And there was even a time when I was out of town, guess who was there to be able to help cover the service while we were gone? Isn't it amazing how God can transform the life of someone who is hungry for more? They've tried everything and they just realize they're still empty inside, and they receive the Spirit of God and he begins to move and transform them into a new creature. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Amen. When we come to the Lord, if there's not a change in our lives, then there's something wrong. If we're still the same person we used to be, something didn't happen right. We need to go back to the Lord and say, God, we need to be transformed. Amen. People around us need to see a difference. They need to notice that there's a touch of God upon our life, and that our mind is different. The way of thinking and looking at things is different. We're becoming a new creature so that we can prove that acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. Paul then says something very interesting in verse 3. He says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." If anybody knew about the grace of God, amen, if anybody could talk about the grace of God, it was Paul. He knew of the grace of God. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Oh, isn't that powerful? "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." So in his teaching about spiritual gifts given from God to the church, Paul reminds us that it's through the grace of God that has been given to every one of us. It's a privilege to be called of God. It's an honor, and we shouldn't think more of ourselves than what we should. And we need to be humble. We need to be realizing that any gift God has given us, any blessing he's poured out in our lives, any honor that he's bestowed upon us, it's not because we were great in ourselves, but it's through God's grace. He is the author of anything we've been able to do spiritually. And we should not value ourselves too highly, but we should think of ourselves soberly and not consider ourselves above others, above our brothers or sisters, because God is the source of strength for every single one of us. And he's given a measure of faith to everyone in the church. And that's the reason why we are here, because of the measure of faith given to us by God and through his grace. Thank the Lord. How was it that Paul could be so mightily used in the Spirit? Because he was always mindful of the grace of God in his life. He never forgot where God had brought him from. He was humble. He was grounded in the grace of God. I don't believe that we should just go around all the time depressed over our past, our mistakes and our failures, our shortcomings. And I don't believe we should just always think of those things we're ashamed of. We shouldn't let those things keep us back from the great things that God wants to do in our lives today. The past is the past. But on the other hand, none of us would be here without the grace of God. And when we are mindful of that, we don't get lifted up in pride. We don't get lifted up to a point that we're useless to God, but we stay humble and God's work can be done in us and through us when we stay humble. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all member have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." So Paul compares the church to the human body, that human body that has many different parts. There's many different functions within the same body. And Paul says that the body of Christ has many members. It's one body, but it has different functions. And we're all members of the one body of Christ. We are each dependent on one another. The different members of the church, we all have different offices and different gifts, just like different body parts have different functions. That's why we shouldn't compare ourselves among ourselves, but we recognize the diversity and the value of various members of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about this in detail. And just to paraphrase a little bit today, he says that by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. And he says the foot can't say, "Well, since I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body." No, it's still part of the body. And it's a very needed part. And the same thing with the ear. The ear can't say, "Well, since I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body." No. And he says, if we had a bunch of eyes, how would we hear? And if we had a bunch of ears, how would we smell? Oh, but God, he puts the members in the body as it pleases him. And even those parts that seem to even be weaker, they are necessary. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, 26, he says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." We all need one another. We all depend on one another. We all have a part. We have a place in the kingdom, a purpose. We have a calling. Don't get to thinking that since you're not someone else, with their talent and their ability and their calling, and since you're not doing the work that they've been called to do, that you're not important in the kingdom of God. That is a lie. Amen. That is not true. Every single one of us have a place. We have a purpose. And if we're not doing our part, it affects the whole body. Amen. Let's keep focused on our purpose. Let's keep focused on our mission, on our calling, and keep our eyes on the Lord so that we're not in competition with one another, but we're working together, and God is the one who's going to get the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next in our text, we see seven service gifts listed by Paul. Now, these are not to be the only gifts, but these seven gifts illustrate the different ways that people are called to serve within the church. And reading in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So we all have at least one of these service gifts: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, we're going to call ruling, we're going to say that's leadership, and mercy. We all have at least one of these seven service gifts. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So stop believing the lie of the enemy that says you don't have a purpose, you don't have a reason for living, you don't have a calling, I tell you, God has prepared some things in advance for your life. He's prepared them in advance for you to do, and he's created us with abilities and gifts to do those things. And so it's time that we realize this and that we identify those gifts and that we use them for the kingdom of God. Let's go through these seven gifts today. The first in this list is prophecy. Prophecy. This is communication that is inspired by God. Amen. Communication that is inspired by God. Of course, the Old Testament had the prophets, and there are prophets still today that communicate as they are inspired by God. In studying the original meaning of language here, it refers to an anointed testimony or to preaching, perhaps. Sometimes it can involve a prediction of the future. And it's speaking under the divine unction of the Holy Spirit in order to edify and encourage and to save others. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." It's a gift, amen? There is a calling of God for prophecy, for anointed communication from the Spirit of God. And we need that. We need that in the church. Amen. People need to hear a message of hope. They need to have a message of truth, a message about how God's power can change their lives. Whether it's preaching in the church, or maybe it's a person giving a message on the job or at school, or maybe it's one-on-one with a friend who needs God. But it's communication from God that comes through a man or a woman of God who is anointed. It should always be used to encourage and edify others. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." Are there times that God uses prophecy to give and bring warnings? Of course, of course. You see that in the Bible, and that does happen. But those who are used in this spiritual gift, they must seek after God so that they have wisdom. They must have wisdom, because we don't want to misuse spiritual gifts. We don't want to abuse spiritual gifts. And without wisdom, and without the proper function, we can turn people off, and we can drive them away from the presence of God when we were seeking to bring them to the Lord. So we've got to be careful, because if we don't have wisdom with prophecy, we can effectively render this gift useless in our life, because we've destroyed our witness. Amen. So it takes a lot of wisdom, a lot of prayer. And this gift of prophecy, it takes time to develop. It requires wisdom. So someone who may have this gift, they've got to learn to be sensitive to the Spirit. And it takes practice to learn how to tune in, to recognize, easily recognize what God would have them say. And in learning this, sometimes they can miss it. Sometimes they can make mistakes. And so the best place for someone to use or to learn this gift of prophecy is to not learn it standing up in front of the whole church and from a big crowd and perhaps missing it. But it's best for them to seek after God in prayer and to make sure that what they're feeling to say is really the presence of God and not just something passing in their flesh in the moment. And then to share that perhaps on a small scale, maybe even one-on-one with people first, just to develop that and tune into the Spirit of God, learning with time how to use this gift. And then as they're faithful and as they develop wisdom on a smaller scale, God can use them as he sees fit. Paul said, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And so if you feel like God is wanting to use you in this gift, you pray and you seek after him and you let God develop this in his timing. And then as your faith grows, God will use this in your life. The second gift is ministry. And this is service to others. It particular means service in the church. And there are some people that they just have a special gift. They've got an attitude or an ability to serve in different capacities. God has given that to them. The Greek word is diakonia, which is a very broad word that covers a variety of types of service, of work or assistance. And it can also refer specifically to the work of a deacon who helps with the business or the organizational matters in a local church. In Acts chapter 6, there was such growth in the church, and there was way more work of ministry to do than what the apostles were able to handle themselves. And reading in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so at that time, they chose Stephen and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas. And look what happened. Verse 7 says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I want to tell you, there is a great work of ministry to be done in the local church, and it can't be done just by a pastor alone. It can't be done just by a select few leaders. It is our belief here at Harvest that every single person has a part in ministry. You have a gift that God has given you, a place that you can serve and minister to others in some respect. We all have a work to do. We all have a place to serve. In fact, it's in our mission statement, serve others. Amen. I encourage you that this is something we've been called to do. Find a way to serve. Find a way to minister. Make yourself available. Answer the call of God to the ministry of others today. Next, we see teaching. Oh, what a need in the church. And aren't you thankful for someone who taught you? They shared the principles of the Word of God with you. They spent time with you going through Scripture. And we all remember great teachers in our lives. I remember Sister Jackson, and she was a great teacher. And I remember the work and the effort that she put into those Sunday school lessons. Amen. All the kids were excited about when they were going to reenact the wedding and Jesus was going to come in and he was going to turn the water into wine, and she had pitchers, and I guess it had some kind of Kool-Aid powder in there, and they'd pour the water in, and it would turn into Kool-Aid, and oh, we had a great time, and she just brought those stories of the Bible to life, and we all loved her, and that was our favorite class, amen, and we're thankful for great teachers here at Harvest that do this, and Bible study teachers, Sunday school teachers, discipleship teachers. All of these operate under this gift of teaching. And God has given you some of you this gift. And if you are not using this, I want to tell you that our church is lacking. And you may feel like, well, I've just not developed it. I get nervous and I don't know how to use it. I want to tell you, if God has given you that gift, then he's going to give you the ability to develop that and to use that for the kingdom of God. And you are going to make the difference in countless lives as you teach them and share the word of God and bring those stories and those principles to life in their lives. And people will be in heaven because you made the difference through the gift that God has given you to teach. Amen. Praise the Lord. Next is exhortation. This is the giving of encouragement or comfort to others. And there's a lot of ways to do this. Sometimes people do this by exhorting. It may be a public testimony, a public preaching or teaching. Others may do this with various forms of communication and personal contact. Amen. You might just be a friend to someone who needs a friend. You can send someone a text or a note and tell them you're thinking about them. Maybe call someone on the phone and just see if there's something you can do for them and be a positive influence in their life. Acts chapter 4 tells us about one church member in the early church. His name was Barnabas. And then it says, which being interpreted is the son of consolation, or if you look at that, it means the son of encouragement. He had the gift of exhortation and encouragement. He was an encouragement to others. Amen. That's a great gift to have, and we need that in the church today. Praise the Lord. Next, we see the gift of giving, sharing material blessings with the church or with others. Amen. There's some people that are just blessed. They're just blessed, and they have a knack for making money. It's just like everything they touch is blessed. Amen. And hopefully they've considered that, you know what? They're blessed not because they're just superior to others, but it's a gift from God. It's for the purpose of assisting in his kingdom. And people with this gift, they shouldn't be selfish, but they should be generous, recognizing that God's plan for them, and he's given them a greater ability to give and a responsibility to do so. It's the gift of giving. Next, the King James Version lists ruling. Of course, we've called that gift the gift of leadership. Amen. Giving direction and guidance and influence. And I tell you, that's a gift. It's a gift. Leaders should do so with carefulness, submitting to God and submitting to his authority that he's placed in their lives. The church needs leaders. The church needs various people with leadership and administrative ability. And in addition to the pastor or the pastoral staff, we need leaders. Amen. Capable leaders over departments and over ministries and events and people that can be influential role models. Maybe they don't even have a title. They don't even hold an official position, but they are a leader and they're influential and they can be a role model to others. There's some people that they're just natural born leaders. Other people have to work at it, but the kingdom of God needs men and women and young people and children who are anointed with the gift of leadership. Lastly, there is the gift of mercy, and that is being merciful and kind to others. It may include visiting the sick or helping the poor, feeding the hungry, assisting the widows and the orphans. This is a great need in the church, and it takes time, it takes an investment, but it is showing the love of Jesus Christ to others. To those who probably can't offer anything in return, but there is a great reward in heaven for those who show mercy. To some extent, we should all be able to function in each of these seven areas. Amen. We should all be a witness. We should all be servants. We should all encourage. We should all give and show mercy. We should all have the ability to teach people and to lead them to the Lord. But we all have our strong points, and we need to learn to be able to discern what those strong points are, those gifts are, and then use them effectively. If you haven't gone through our First Steps classes here at Harvest, I strongly recommend that you do so. And during that four-week class, we have different tests and questionnaires that help you to identify these gifts. And then our Next Steps ministry is designed to help you get involved in the church according to your giftings. And that may take more teaching, it may take more development, but all of us need to be involved. We need to be involved using the gifts that God has given us to build his kingdom and to bring him glory. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you in closing today. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church or whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, that none of that matters. I want to tell you, there is a place for you, whoever you are. And if you're watching with this with your family tonight, I encourage you, after this is over tonight, have some discussion with those that are there with you about the gifts that they feel God has given each of them. And you can encourage others. Well, I see that gift in your life, and I see that being developed. And maybe it's just a child, but you can start to see those gifts coming out in their life. It may be prophecy or ministry, maybe teaching or exhortation or giving. I want to tell you, there's some children, they have the gift of giving. And oh, if they can develop that gift, and then God could use them to be a mighty giver and can bless the work of their hands all of their life. Maybe leadership, but maybe mercy. Kids have mercy. I tell you, it's wonderful to see kids having mercy on those who need help. And kids are leaders. Kids are leaders. So visit with those and help them identify some of those gifts. And then let's be accountable. Ask each other, well, how are you doing? What are you doing to develop those gifts? What are you doing to use those gifts for the Lord? And if we're not using them, then let's make a plan to get involved. Amen. To get involved using the gifts God's given us to build his kingdom. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, there's nothing more rewarding, nothing more exciting than seeing a new person come to the Lord. Amen. They may come to the Lord carrying a lot of baggage, with a lot of problems and a lot of trouble. But it's so exciting to see God deliver them and to fill them with their spirit, and they're baptized and they're born again. And his spirit does an amazing work in them so that they look back on who they used to be. And it's like night and day. It's a total different person. Don't you ever underestimate the power of God to transform someone and to make them a valuable part of his church. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember today, God has supplied the church, the body of Christ. He has supplied it with every gift so that the church would not be lacking. And you have a part, you have a place. And we want to see you filling that place, filling that purpose, so that God's will can be done in our local city, in our local church, in the surrounding area, and that his kingdom can go forward. Amen. It's an exciting thing to see people used in the giftings that God has given them, and we want to see that in your life. Praise the Lord. Would you reach over and take somebody's hand, put your arm around their shoulder? Let's pray that God would develop these gifts that he has given us, and that he would enable us to use them in his kingdom. Amen. Let's pray together right now. Lord, we thank you for this teaching tonight. We thank you, God, for these principles in the Word of God. I pray that you would let this be enlightening to us. I pray that you'd help us to see ourselves in these giftings, Lord. Help us to realize, Lord, maybe it's not just my personality, but God, maybe you have given me a gift for teaching, or maybe you have given me a gift for leadership, or maybe you've given me a gift of exhortation. Lord, I pray that you would enable us to see, Lord, that you have blessed us with gifts that you want us to use in your kingdom. Lord, we don't want the church to be lacking in any one of these gifts. But I pray that you would enable us, strengthen us, Lord, help us to develop these. Lord, if maybe we need to study and research and develop these on our own, but God, I pray that you'd give us a hunger to be involved in the kingdom of God. Give us a heart for others. Give us a heart to be a servant. We're all to be ministers, Lord. I pray that you would minister to our lives. Help us to look beyond ourselves, to not be selfish, Lord, but look to the needs of others and to see the great need of souls in our area. And you are wanting to use these spiritual gifts to help our church reach the lost. We thank you, Lord, for it. We praise you for it. And God, I'm excited to see what you are going to do, how you're going to develop men and women and young people and children and use them mightily in the kingdom of God, as we give you all of the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's been a wonderful time here with you tonight, and we're excited about our church, about the future of the church, and we're moving forward. We're going to see some great things happen, Amen. Stay encouraged. Stay faithful. And we'll see you soon. God bless you.